When my children were little, like most parents, Raquel and I wanted to share with them good behaviors and traits that we wanted them to have. And one of those behaviors was unconditional love. Now, we could have sat our kids down when they were toddlers and lectured to them for hours, but they would have just tuned us out. They would have wandered away and found an interesting toy and went and played and just ignored us. It's not something they could have understood, especially with adult words. Instead, though, we shared with them a book by Shel Silverstein called The Giving Tree. And I'm sure some of you have read this. You've maybe read it to yourself, to your children, your grandchildren, or your parents read it to you, or if you're lucky, all of the above. It's a picture book that came out in the 60s, in which a tree gives selfless love to this little boy. The tree is giving all through the boy's life and gives him parts of this tree to play in, to eat its apples. And as he grows older, he spends less time with the tree and only visits when he needs or wants material things. At each stage, the tree gives him something: money from its apples, a house from its branches, a boat from its trunk. In the end, the boy comes back when there's not much of the tree left but a stump, and just wants a quiet place to sit and rest. And the tree is happy to provide him just that. Now, we were shocked when John, our oldest, who was 4 at the time, said one day that he wanted to read his little brother and sister a book, and he picked this one out. And he sort of read it to them. He didn't actually read it, but he knew the story enough and the pictures enough that had been given to him that he was able to convey the meaning and the message onto his brother and sister at a level that he could understand. And so he passed this along to his brother and sister as well. Now, what's interesting is in our first reading by Isaiah, the Lord uses language of making the earth fruitful and giving seed to the one who sows. And God goes on to say that, "So shall my word be that goes from my mouth. My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it." It paints a picture of God's word as a cyclic entity. Just as rain and snow originate from the clouds and suspend above the earth and rain down upon us and water the ground and give us nutrients and so forth, and then evaporate again and return back up to the clouds, it repeats itself over and over again. God's word comes forth, accomplishing its life-giving purpose with us and drawing all things back to God, just like that water and snow. Now, over the next few weeks, Jesus will share a number of parables with us that are meant to teach us things. He knew our human minds might not be able to fully understand many of the things that he needed to share with us and teach us. But he knew that if he began with what was familiar, it would be easier for his disciples to understand and pass it along to their followers. And more importantly, hand it on to future followers, similar to how my 4-year-old son shared the story about the giving tree with his brother and sister. Now, in today's gospel, Jesus tells the story of a farmer who went out to sow seed in the field, and I'm sure we're all familiar with this. But not all the seed would germinate and grow. Some would be quickly eaten up by the birds, some would fall on hard ground among thorns, but some of that seed would fall on good soil and would produce an unbelievable harvest of 30, 60, or 100-fold. When Jesus was telling this story, he knew what was in the hearts of his listeners. He knew that some of them had already rejected him and walked away shaking their heads, saying, there's no way this could possibly be our Messiah. Others would follow him for a while until they found someone else more interesting or something else less demanding. It's because of their unbelief that Jesus speaks in parables. And despite the lack of an overwhelming positive response, Jesus' preaching of God's word does finally achieve God's purpose. Now, the good news for us today is this. Jesus also knew that there would be some who would make a choice to follow him, a choice that would change their lives forever. They were the good soil upon whom his words would fall, and they would produce a rich harvest of goodness. The story told was about them and about us today. Jesus is challenging us to make a decision, a choice to follow him. He is asking us, what kind of disciple do we want to be? Should we live a productive life, a fruitful life, allowing God's word, Jesus, to take root in our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to produce a rich harvest of grace for ourselves and others around us? Or shall we just live for ourselves? Or maybe somewhere in the middle, just doing the bare minimum. Even though God's love is all-inclusive, we must act upon it. Our challenge is to understand that by our actions, we emulate God whenever these actions of sowing God's word extend beyond ourselves. That's why we're here today, together, in communion with one another. We never know when we might be that good soil and what the results might be. We leave all that up to God. God just gives us his seeds of love. And we are called to be like the good soil and allow these seeds to take root and grow, to pick out the rocks, to pick out the thorns, to pick out the weeds, and nurture the seeds and to help nurture others. Now, after Mass today, I have a baptism. And the parents of this young girl are bringing her to the church to help cultivate that soil, to plant that seed in a nutrient-rich soil for her. And someday, she is going to make a decision at her confirmation to be that good soil and to continue enriching the soil that her parents are helping her to cultivate so that the Word of God might take root in her and produce an abundant harvest of 30, 60, or 100-fold in her world. So what are we going to do? Are we going to make a decision to be the good soil, to cultivate it, to enrich it, to make it bountiful, let God's seed grow in us? If so, what are we going to do or continue to do to make that happen? What a difference it will make in our lives and in the world around us that we're living in. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but we're in a time right now that we need more good soil. And Christ is telling us, he's not asking, he's telling us to please be the good soil and allow him to grow in our lives, in our world. And I don't know if anybody here has seen the movie Sound of Freedom, but there was a line in it that I think sums up what we all need to do. When God tells you to do something, don't hesitate.